Forsberg over to my Darvidson, top of the right circle, shoots. And Tyler Mott hit one knee to block that. Here's a loose puck picked up by Kane. Leads a 3-on-2 rush through center ice over the Preds line. Top of the right circle. Kane shoots. He scores! Patrick Kane used the other two Hawks on the rush as a decoy. Looked off the Predators and snapped it past Pekka-Rinne. With 5:12 left in the third, the Hawks lead 3-2.
That was a great win on the road on Thursday night. Hawks were down 2-1 in the third period. Goal from Jonathan Toews on the power play, and then Patrick Kane, the game winner, 5:12 to go. Little beautiful sort of hesitation, and then wham, short side passed. Thank you, Pekka-Rinne. Unfortunately, the Hawks did lose last night to Carolina 3-2. Now they're enjoying themselves as they get ready for the Blues, hopefully on Monday, rain permitting. Pleased to be joined by your radio voice of your Chicago Blackhawks, who really, I think, should have been playing in the alumni game today because he's dynamite on the ice. I've never actually seen you play, John Weideman, but I believe you to be a great rec hockey player since you have been doing it for oh so many years. You could have helped out the Hawks today.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Carm, but I'm going to tell you that I'm not one of the esteemed alumni. That's nice of you to say, and I would probably have gotten a great thrill out of it, but you may have also gotten some bad information. I don't think I'm that great of a player, but I know this: if they would have allowed me to come and play with them, I would have had a ball. I know that my partner Troy Murray was really looking forward to playing today. And, I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet since the game, but I'm sure that he's going to say he'll probably soft sell what he says. He's got kind of a self-deprecating way about himself. And I thought, being brutally honest, I thought Troy Murray was an exceptionally good hockey player when he played in the NHL. I mean, he was a money player, in my opinion. But these alumni games, these are about having fun. Advancing the game of hockey, showcasing it in the right way, and allowing the fans to appreciate the guys that played so hard and so well during their eras, which for guys like Troy was the 80s and part of the 90s. So, in that respect, it was a showcase of alumni players, and let's just hope that these guys can still play every year and continue to do this, because I think it's an awful lot of fun.
Blues did beat the Blackhawks 8-7 in a heartbreaker in the Winter Classic. I think the guys will be able to rebound for this. And by the way, John, Harry's very close with John McDonough. I think he would make a call for you to get you on the ice in the next alumni game. You just got to talk to Harry. I don't have that type of pull, but Harry does.
Not necessarily. You know why you think that Troy Murray was a great hockey player? Because he was. He's one of the best Blackhawks centermen in the last 30 years. And before Taser wore 19, 19 belonged to Troy Murray. John, always a pleasure. So here we are again. Right? Fourth year in a row, the Hawks are playing outdoors. Is it still, it's got to be like, as exciting an individual game as there is all season for the guys.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody looks forward to this. I mean, this is such a unique event. And, really, it's an honor to be a part of it. It's not something that you just stand in line and you get it. You've got 30 NHL teams, and it's not like, okay, well, now it's going to be your turn, Ottawa, and then it's going to be your turn, Philadelphia Flyers or Florida Panthers, whatever. That'd be an event down in Florida. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, when you're chosen to be a part of this, really, that's an honor more than anything else. And that's how I look at it. And it's going to be a showcase for the National Hockey League. It's going to be something that I think all eyes in the hockey world will be looking at and paying attention to. And I've always felt that, every time I take the microphone, put that headset on, I have always felt a sense of obligation to not only the Blackhawk fans, but the hockey fans around the world, that, you have to call the game and give great detail and try and inject emotion and passion and all of those things. And you know what? For me, in a game like that, it's going to be easy. The outdoor games, even though your perspective from the ice is pretty much withdrawn, and you're going to have to kind of really pay attention to the guys that are on the ice and try and make out, the sweaters, because they're different sweaters that they wear. They don't wear what they normally wear during the regular season. So you're going to have to really focus on the players, I think, as they enter the ice. And you're going to have to rely on your instincts, I think, is what I'm going to have to do anyway, when it comes to the actual play-by-play call, because they are so far away from the booth. And you know what? I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm going to get a few wrong tomorrow. I already know that, but I don't mind, because, you know, it's really the game is what's important, and the showcase for, you know, the National Hockey League and for the great hockey fans in these two cities. I think, you know, if the weather will just cooperate, I think it's going to be a tremendous event here in a couple days.
Well, with that attitude, you might get a few wrong, Mr. Weiderman. but, you know, you're right. It's not like when the NFL sends teams to London and everybody gets in line and everybody gets a turn. It says a lot about the Blackhawks organization that they're going. So, John, here we are again with Stan Bowman forced to bring in so many young players and, you know, and veterans to help the team, and they still sit atop the Western Conference in point total. Of these young guys, is there one guy in particular that you look at and say, oh, man, he is going to be something special?
Well, I think there's I hate to be vague and generalized in my answer to you, Harry, because I think that's an excellent question. But
go on.
I think there's potential for all of them to be great. They've been, to me, these first-year guys, they've all been great at different times. And then there have been games where they've been just very average. But that I think that could be said of any NHL player. If you held my feet to the fire and asked me to pick one guy out of the group of the six players that made the Blackhawks team to be at some point in his career to be really great, and that's a hard one because all six of the kids that have come in since the start of the season, they've all produced in their own way, but they're all first-year players to the NHL. If I had to pick one out of that six and say that I would bet money that this guy, by the time his career is done, will be known as an exceptional player. If I had to pick one, I think I would pick Nick Schmaltz. And he's not even with the team right now. He's with the Rockford Icehawks.
That's such a cool answer.
And it's hard, too, because, you know, you've got good kids on this team. The Chicago kids, Vinny Hinostroza and Ryan Hartman, they've been terrific here in the last little while, you know, injecting great energy into the team. And I think Jonathan Toews, who's been centering the line with those two, I think he's really enjoyed playing with those two guys because they're fast, they're eager, they're hungry. You know, they will do what's necessary to help the line and the team succeed. You know, and they're just still learning the NHL game. But, you know, by the time this year has ended, those two kids are going to have an abundance of experience. You know, I mean, if they stay here, it's possible they could still go back to Rockford. But if they stay here, they're going to have an abundance of big-time NHL experience, and they will be the finished product heading into the playoffs and into next season. So this is the season where you watch them and you say, okay, grow. You go ahead and make your mistakes. That's all part of the growth curve. But then the mistakes, in my opinion, have become fewer and fewer, and I think they've become smarter players. I think that they've contributed to the team's success. And see, those are just the two of the guys that I mentioned. I haven't even mentioned Tyler Mott. I love Tyler Mott as a player. I think he's in time, he's going to be a kid that makes a significant contribution to the Blackhawks. And, you know, you talk about the defense now. Gustav Forsling and Michael Kempney, who last night scored his first NHL goal and picked up his first NHL assist. And, you know, he's a kid that it's taken time for him to kind of understand what he needs to do and how he can contribute. So you mentioned Stan Bowman and his ability in the hockey ops side of the Blackhawks, their ability to fortify the roster with guys that can come in and keep the winning ways going. I think, you know, if you're going to give him a grade right now, and it's only midseason, I think right now he's at the top of the list with an A++.
John Weideman, your radio play-by-play voice, the Chicago Blackhawks, with us here, 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. We're with you till 7. Happy New Year. So the bread man, John, he gets the 2-year extension, $6 million per through 2018-2019. So now you've got, I'm going to make you make the tough decision here, John. You've got Toews, Kane, Hossa, Anisimov, Duncan Keith, Seabrook, Jalmerson, Corey Crawford already signed for next year. That's $59 million along with Panarin to the 73 on the cap. So you got $14 million to play with, which ain't a lot of dough. So you would think that one of those guys might have to be on the way out, not because the Blackhawks want to make that move, but similar to many of the moves they've made in the past to create room. Who do you think is most vulnerable there?
Well, my answer to that is get the NHL to add $5 million to the salary cap. You know, because it's penalizing a good team. You know, you've got an organization where the emphasis is now on winning, and the Blackhawks fan base has really benefited from that attitude now. And it says that, you know, the league, yeah, the rules are in place for all 30 teams, but if you go out and you get these good players and they excel and they play to the point where, you know, because of the statistics, they deserve a better contract, then, you know, you're penalized because you have already given out money to guys that have proven that they're worth what they produce. You know, so you get another guy that comes along like Panarin, and now, because of the salary cap structure, that creates a huge problem. To me, it's a little bit unfair. It's like, if you can pay that kind of money, why not allow teams to do that so they can keep the team together? You know, are the Blackhawks fans less deserving of a winner than any other fan base in the National Hockey League? That's where I have a problem with the salary cap. I have a big problem with it. But you know what? I'm just a broadcaster, and I know my place, and I understand it's just my opinion. I wish there was some kind of a rule in place to where they could add money to the salary cap in situations like that, but they can't. So now you're asking me which one of the guys going forward is going to be off the map. Boy, flip a coin. I couldn't tell you, Carm. That's a question I can't answer, and I'm glad I don't have to answer it. But I can tell you this. Every time this situation has been presented to the guys on the hockey ops side of the Blackhawks organization, they've always been able to find a workable solution. So my only statement I can say through all of that is time will tell.
Yep.
John, I love the Hawks, and I love Coach Q, and I love Brian Campbell.
He's about to get emotional here, John.
I was really upset that Brian Campbell had his streak of 423 consecutive games played stopped on a coach's decision. I understand that they wanted to shake up, you know, the team, and that, you know, Campbell hasn't had, you know, a ton of great games in a row, but you know, it's a business, but, I mean, you're there. Isn't there a way that they could have, instead of bringing two new defensemen in, they could have brought in one on Thursday and one on Friday and let Soup keep that streak going?
Harry, to me, the best answer I can give is that because it's the NHL and winning is so important, the cold, hard facts are that sometimes a coach has to make a decision that is unpopular with a lot of people. And because he's looking out for the greater good of the team. And I didn't even know that Soupy had that streak going. I knew that he'd played a lot of consecutive games, but I wasn't aware that the streak had gotten up to that point. I think Joel Quenneville looks at that situation and he says, you know, I can't worry about streaks. I can't worry about a guy, you know, playing at an all-star level or a guy that people love or whatever. I got to think about the greater good of my team. And if it means that I've got to keep somebody out of the lineup in order for my team to pull together and win a hockey game, then that's what I'm going to do. And the other thing I think that figures in there, and keep in mind, Harry, like you, I didn't want to see Campbell, you know, come out of the lineup. I thought that, you know, he could stay and continue to play, but that's neither here nor there. But I think also that if you leave a guy in the lineup who you as head coach truly believe is not playing up to the level that he could play, and you leave him in there, I think it sends a bad signal to the other guys that are in that dressing room. And you can't let that sink in, because that could be the start of a bad feeling in the dressing room, and that can kill your playoff fortunes right then and there. It's one game, okay? And, yeah, maybe it ended a streak. But I think Brian Campbell, being the veteran that he is, probably looked at that and said, okay, you know, that stinks that I lost the 400 straight games or 402, whatever it was, but that's a little bit of a wake-up call for me. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are as a professional player. There are times when you have to kind of give yourself a shake and say, okay, maybe I need to play a little bit better. I don't even know if that was what was going on. That's what I'm guessing. And so I think that's what I believe is probably happened there. It's kind of an uncomfortable thing to even talk about, because I know all these guys and they're all great guys, but I think that was probably part of the thinking that it went into Brian's omission from the game against the Nashville Predators. Now, you notice he came back last night and played against Carolina. I thought he had a pretty solid game. So, you know, maybe there was a message in there from Joel Quenneville, and maybe that message wasn't just to Brian Campbell, a veteran player, a respected guy on this team. Maybe that message was for everybody in the Blackhawks dressing room that, hey, if I'll take Brian Campbell out of the lineup because I don't think he's playing as well as he can, I'll take anybody out of the lineup. So it's midseason, and maybe that's the perfect time to send that message.
John Weideman of your Chicago Blackhawks, and I've been coaching Harry for a while, John, that there is no I in team. And he looked back at me and said that, well, there is in win, Carm, and Michael Jordan once said that. And I said, that's a good point, Harry. So there's two sides to that argument. Hey, what's your understanding? If it does rain on Monday and they don't play, what will be the plan going forward, or John? Do you know?
Well, I had heard, and I don't know if this is official or not, I had heard this. And it's from a reliable source. I'm not going to say who it was, but it was from somebody within the Blackhawks organization, because that question came up. It's like, well, hey, what if we get a rainout? You know, it's an outdoor hockey game, but what if we get a rainout? I mean, you guys may recall a couple of years ago, the game in Pittsburgh between the Penguins and the Capitals. That game, I think it took like 4.5 or 5 hours to complete because of the rain delays. So I think that the league knows that that's a possibility based on the forecast. From what I had heard, and I don't know that this is true, but from what I had heard, the contingency plan is that if they cannot play on New Year's or the day after New Year's Day, they will play the following night, Tuesday evening in St. Louis, because from what I understand, the weather is supposed to be better. And a more favorable type of condition would be, you know, in St. Louis for them to be able to control the ice and control the playing surface. And to me, if that were to happen, there are a lot of people that aren't going to be able to go to that game. I mean, think of the Blackhawk fans that are normally at games in St. Louis between the Blackhawks and the Blues. A lot of those people would say, hey, I can't even go now because it's Tuesday night and I got to work. So that would be kind of a shame, in my opinion. I'm hoping that they can pull it off, you know, on the day that they're looking at, Monday, and, you know, weather notwithstanding, work their way through it somehow, get it done, and get the game in. I'm hoping that that's the way it goes.
I just want to see... I just want to see it rain Blackhawk goals.
High of 54, low of 46. I don't know. We'll see. Hey, John, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, and to you guys, happy New Year as well, and a prosperous New Year to both of you and to your families and to all the Blackhawk fans that are out there. If you're going to celebrate, please celebrate safely and with an eye toward looking after each other and each other's families, and we'll see you on the other side in 2017.
I'm tucking myself in at 8 o'clock.
Thank you, John. I know you'll let us know when the puck is along the half boards.
You got it, Harry. I'll also let you know when it's behind the Blackhawks net or the Blues net, too. I don't generalize.
Thanks, John.
All right, take care, guys. Happy New Year.
John Weideman, your radio play-by-play voice for the Chicago Blackhawks, heard here, of course, right here on 720 WGN.